888-213-2244.
This half hour of the iWorkFrame radio broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online, nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9-to-5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work for Him. Join the I Work for Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation in cities around the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him this afternoon as we broadcast you from San Antonio, Texas. But before we tell you about why we're here and who we're here with, Martha, I think it'd be great for us just to reconnect with people on how they should be letting us know how they should be. I don't know, let's talk I Work for Him Nation today.
Okay, so I Work for Him Nation is something that God just really laid on Jim's heart, helping encourage people to make a commitment to pray for their coworkers and employees, to befriend them, they can read it on our website, Jim, iworkforhim.com. But the big idea of that is just making a commitment to say, Lord, what do you want me to do in my workplace that's going to make a difference? And making that commitment just helps people to say, you know, this is something that the Lord really, I want to pursue and I want to grow in this area. So I just want to encourage people to go to our website. A little flag will pop up and it'll say, I want to join the nation. Go there and read the commitment for yourself and see if that's something that you can commit to. We will send you a little something in the mail when you do make that commitment. So there's always that. And I have fun when I get to send those all over the country.
And we just recently got a new member from Poland. So it's people across the world are joining. We'd also love to hear from you. If you've got suggestions on new guests, if you're hearing stories out there in the marketplace of people living out their faith, give us a call to our listener line, 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Helping people move from the retirement mindset, which, you know, when I Work for Him, we're pounding people. Retirement's not biblical. You have a second half. You may have a reassignment, but you never get to retire. That's not biblical. Unless, of course, you're a Levitical priest, then you get to retire, but then you still have to do
okay.
Mentoring and training.
That's right.
All right. So helping people move from the retirement mindset to pivoting to a new focus is no small task. Today, we get to talk with a local San Antonio, Texas entrepreneur, Daryl Lyons, about PAX Financial Group and how they live out their faith as financial advisors and help people pivot. We're on location today at the intergalactic headquarters for the C12 Group in San Antonio, Texas. We've got C12 CEO Mike Sherrow is also joining us in the studio as we get to talk with Daryl Lyons. Mike and Daryl, welcome to I Work for Him.
Thank you for having me today.
Mike Sherrow, where is the launch pad then for the spaceships for the intergalactic?
It's in the backyard. I can show you guys later.
Security clearance. Security clearance.
It probably has a cloaking device.
It's cloaked
yes.
Right now. Got it. Okay. All right. So, Daryl, this is your first time on I Work for Him. Because it's your first time, but Mike Sherrow is here. Mike, why don't you introduce Daryl? I mean, give your personal introduction.
Man, so we could do a whole show me talking about Daryl, and then you could just say amen at the end, Daryl. You
want to
do that?
And then you'll be really glad you came.
That sounds great. I was just thinking about the rocket ship in the back. So, yeah.
So I got to know Daryl and his firm actually before C12. And then I got to become a customer, and then we got involved in C12 together. One of the reasons I was so excited and said, when you said you guys are going to be here, you got to interview Daryl. Is his story, well, just personally, his journey with Jesus and business and how the gospel has consumed his heart to impact people and the work of their business is just unconventional and genuine. And I think it's contagiously transferable to everybody. So I want everybody to hear it because he's a guy who's journeyed, had a literal come to Jesus, consume his heart, grown a business, and has began to view business as literally a ministry to people. And in the wealth management world, you guys have known plenty of folks. It's pretty rare to find a wealth management firm that says, we actually want to help middle America because you don't make a lot of money helping middle America. But you can change generations. And so they've had this heartbeat of we're going to change generations through our business. And then just maybe an epitome of some of the things that Daryl and his team are about. Literally in their office, they got this gong. And I've been to companies where they got like sirens to go off when you get a new account, or you ring a bell when you get $1 million sale. They hit this gong when a legacy gets changed, when someone gets debt free, when someone raises their giving to 20% instead of 4% it was, or when someone's marriage gets transformed or people get saved. I mean, they're about legacies happening now, not just a big estate gift later. And that's just very uncommon because they're targeting the less likely, least likely market, and then celebrating the least likely transaction for a wealth manager to be about, which just says, okay, this is a weird group. And and then he does it all with us, not bravado, not a power play, but this identity in Christ fueling both who he is and then why they go and serve people this way. So Daryl Lyons is a friend. He's a author of some great books, and he's passionate about people coming to know freedom and change. How's that for an intro?
Yeah, that was great. A wonderful intro.
How much did you pay him? That was incredible. All right. I love that.
It's beautiful.
So as today we're in San Antonio and we're talking with Daryl Lyons. We are at the Intergalactic World Headquarters for the C12 Group. Do I have to say that every time, Mike?
You do. No. Okay. Well, you can just say C12 if you want.
Okay. So I was going to say the World Headquarters for C12 because it is true. It is not just in the U.S. It's all over the world. Check them out online. C12group.com. C12group.com. Daryl Lyons. We ask this question of everybody the first time they come on the I Work For Him. How did you become a Jesus follower?
Well, good question. So I'm going to give you the long answer. Is that okay?
Of course.
But it's not exhaustive. So I became a Christian when I was a child. And it was an authentic transaction when my name was written in the Book of Life. Mm-hmm. And that was in a small town just north of here called Burney, Texas. And my mama was a praying mama, and she prayed over me a lot. And I enjoyed my walk with Christ. But you know, I was driving my daughter to school this morning, and I got a short window to teach my kids on the commute to school, and I asked her the question. I said, Noelle, what's the difference between believing God and trusting in Him? And you know, we had a great dialogue. Well, I want to tell you that initial transaction, I believed in Him, but did I really trust Him? And so it wasn't until I was an adult that I really had an experience where I began to understand what it meant to trust Him. And can I share that with you? Is that
sure,
okay?
Absolutely.
I don't want to exhaust and hijack the questions that you might have.
No, this is perfect because the reason I ask that question is everybody's experience and how they were really drawn into a deep relationship with the Lord is different. And so we want people to hear it so that they can go, hey, okay, so my story's okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I think some people can relate to that. You know, that as a child, they may have gone to a youth camp or something and they made a transaction where His Spirit testified with our spirit. But they just never really trusted Him. And I didn't really understand the difference. And so what had happened is I had grown up without money in a very difficult situation. And so working our way out of, I graduated from high school in a little trailer park on the side of the highway. And I just wanted to figure out how life works. So in an effort to figure out life, I developed an attitude called mental toughness, extra effort. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible was in Proverbs, "Go like an ant, thou sluggard, consider his ways and be wise." Now that's not a really great mission statement in isolation because we also know later in the scripture that apart from Him, we can do nothing. But I grabbed that scripture and I said, go like an ant, and I hustled my tail off and I paid my way through school. I worked 40 hours at a bank. I got 2 degrees. I went and became a partner of the year at a big firm, rookie of the year before that at a big firm. I was heading to New York. I was heading to Wall Street. I was heading to Chicago. And nothing was stopping me. It was mental toughness, extra effort. I don't have any tattoos, but if that were a tattoo, that'd be my tattoo. And so I was working my tail off. So later on in life, I ended up having a daughter and a son, and my wife was expecting her third baby and she was not feeling good. In fact, it wasn't far from this location we're at now that we lived and she wasn't feeling good that day. So I said, you just stay home and I'm going to take my daughter, Claire, she was 2 at the time, to the grocery store and I'm going to get groceries for dinner. So we drive up the road and we roll down the windows and it was a beautiful February day. It was sunglasses and leather jacket kind of day. And we roll down the windows and I'm kind of frustrated because I had just messed up a client deal and I'd lost some money and I tried to play golf and I was bad at that. And I'd just been making a ton of mistakes and I was frustrated trying to enjoy the moment. And we were singing and then all of a sudden she screams and she kicked the electronic up button with her foot and put her hand out and her finger, her little
finger got caught between the window and the frame. And so I swerved over into the McDonald's parking lot and horns are honking. And I thought I was going to have to punch the window, but she let go of her foot and the window came down and her finger was severed.
Oh.
And there was blood all over her princess dress and she's screaming and I'm freaking out. I'm already under a lot of stress from work and pressure and things that I was dealing with. So I rushed to the hospital and they asked for me, my date of birth and her date of birth. And I mumbled whatever I could. And we got her in the emergency room. Dr. Chris Phelps, kept her that night and successfully reattached her little finger.
Mm.
But that night, my wife lost our third baby.
Mm.
And so in the midst of this frustrating time, mental toughness, extra effort was not going to get me through it.
And when we come back, we're going to get the rest of that story. You're listening to I Work For Him as we broadcast to you from the C12 World Headquarters here in San Antonio, Texas. We're talking with Daryl Lyons. And we got Mike Sherrill here, CEO of C12Group.com. Check him out online. You're listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Yet the world you and I live in doesn't know that. Your workplace is a vital mission field because it's full of people who need Jesus. Join the I Work For Him Nation today and start living with gospel mission intentionality in your workplace. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Be the difference in your workplace. iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, with today's Integrity Moment.
In the 90s, I owned a consulting practice. I often stayed late on New Year's Eve because I wanted to tally up our final profit and loss numbers. It wasn't to greedily examine my profits. Instead, it was to determine how much extra I could give to charity before the tax year ended. Joy would fill my heart as I thought of the impact my gifts might make. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, Paul told the Corinthians, "But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Today is the last day of the year for you to excel in giving and get a tax deduction.
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
Condo fees always increasing? Think Utility Services can help your community stabilize the annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual unit water meters and only charging residents for the water they consume, your community can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save on utility costs for over 20 years. Call 888-MY-METER today. Learn more at thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as Martha and I broadcast from.
We are in San Antonio, Texas at the C12 headquarters, national, intergalactical, whatever you want to call it.
Intergalactical.
We're making up words as we go.
That is my forte. So that's how I roll.
And Mike Sherrill has invited in to be with us today, Daryl Lyons. He's the founder, the co-founder and the CEO of PAX Financial. It's PAX FC online. All of a sudden I lost the website. PAXFG.com.
Yeah.
PAXFG.com. Sorry about that. What does PAX FG stand for?
PAX is Latin for peace, P-A-X, and FG is in financial group. And so we're big Dave Ramsey fans, so the peace is a spinoff. The PAX is a spinoff from Financial Peace University.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Daryl, you left us with a cliffhanger there at the end of the last segment. You're the doctor.
There's blood everywhere.
There's blood everywhere on the princess dress, which I like that because I know that that impacted your daughter more probably than her finger being disattached. The doctor's able to reattach the finger, but your wife loses the baby.
Yeah. So at this point, I can't mental toughness, extra effort my way through this. So I call up a guy who had a little gray hair and he read the Bible more than I did. And even though I appreciated the word of God, I never really got into it. It was there. And I was certainly one to get into I enjoyed, you know, some of the debates, apologetics debates, right? I could do that. But I really, you know, the word of God was not something that I really digested, but he did. And his name was Bill Lovelace. So I bought him a breakfast taco and I said, "Bill, I need to unpack what's been going on over the last 3 months. And I need you to help unwind this and help me figure it out." And I don't remember what he said, but I remember what God said through him. And he said, "Are you done yet? Are you done living the life I never intended you to live? Are you done with all the worry and all the pressure that you're putting on yourself to perform? Are you done?"
And I was done. And at that point, I made a commitment to not just believe in him and not even just trust him, but just depend on him moment by moment. And so at that moment, I completely started to unpack the scriptures and what it meant for the vine branch relationship and what it meant to bear fruit. And I always thought bear mean to manufacture, but bear means I'm just simply I'm going to hold it and I'm going to be a PVC pipe that allows God's blessing to flow through me. And I wanted more than anything, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. None of those things I could manufacture on my own. Mm-hmm. And once I recognized that I could manufacture it on my own and that it required moment by moment dependence upon him, that transformed my complete perspective, the way I worked. It didn't change my work ethic. It just changed how I worked. And that was a game changer for me to realize that there is a God that cares about me. But not only that, that I'm going to depend on him and believe in him and trust in him in each moment. And I think that, you know, the path I was heading on, mental toughness, extra effort, was one that was exhausting that could have led to some serious health issues. And he just completely just redirected my course. And since that time, I've been sharing that message with others, specifically, you know, men. But I got to tell you, there's been a lot of women that have gravitated towards the pressure that we all put on ourselves
sure.
to perform. And that could be as parents and recognizing that apart from him, we can do nothing. And Bill always reminds me, what part of apart from me, you can do nothing? Do you not understand?
Right.
And so that's my journey. And I know it's a long story, but it was really two transactions that occurred. And it's really been transformative in my life.
So at what point in time did the Lord move you to connect your faith and your work?
Well, you know, I think, again, C12 has been a great supporter in that. I think there's a healthy fear that if you integrate the two, that you're subjecting yourself to liability. So being very cerebral about it, you always have this reservation. Well, I've got to keep the two things separate. And so having quite a bit of dialogue with the C12 group, coupled with other Christians who have implemented, looking at the Stuart Cathys of the world and the other leaders that have integrated their faith in the workplace, when I realized that the degree of liability can be contained, you know, you can use good judgment. If we have a Bible study, I don't force people to go. Once I understood the liability and I realized that I could accept it, I think that was I had to get through that. Then it became, hey, you know what? I don't have to be two different people. Mm-hmm. I can be the same person Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and just live out my faith. It was a degree of freedom. So it was certainly the recognition, me as a leader, that I needed to depend on him. And then the encouragement of peers, right? That's why in Hebrews it says, do not give up meeting with one another. That encouragement helped me realize that, hey, I can do this and I should do this. And then it was freedom after that.
So when you were participating in the C12 group, were you already a financial planner at that point?
I was.
So how did you then make a shift if you were already doing something and then you saw a different way of doing it? What did that look like?
I think it was more than anything, it was first of all, living out authentically. The biggest challenge is trying to implement something that you're not really doing yourself. And so I think for me, it was just trying to be authentic in my own faith and mm-hmm. leading that out. And then when God put it on my heart to love on people in a very unique way, I think that I had to start to try to figure out creative ways to implement that. And so let me give you an example. One of the things that I do every week is I send out an email to my team, and this email says
your team of employees
and my employees. So
how many is
about
that?
20.
Okay.
So I send out an email and it says GTD. And that means get to do things that I get to do this week. It's a play on words. I mean, I could put, I have to do this, but it's mm-hmm. get to do. And then I put my high and my low of the week, my high of the previous week and my low of the previous week. And then everyone in turn responds back. Everyone in the office, usually it's reply all, and they'll respond back and say, here's what I get to do this week, which is, you know, I got to go to a conference or I've got to do this. And then my high of the last week was, hey, I got to go to my kid's birthday party. We had a great time. Or my low is we might have cancer in my family. Mm. And so I get to wrestle with life real time. So I think what happened was, there was an authentic desire to love on people. And then I started to try to wrestle with ways of how do you systematize those things a little bit more to where I don't become disconnected with people. And that's one of the things that we just get around a boardroom and start wrestling with these ideas and they kind of come to fruition.
You know, you had the opportunity, you mentioned in your story that you were planning on going to Chicago or to Wall Street. You were planning on becoming a big part of a big firm. You've decided to stay here in Texas and have a smaller firm, 20 so employees, working with middle kind of, you know, not the wealthiest of clients, but the middle class clients, the everyday individuals that don't have billions of dollars. What made you, I mean, you shared how the Lord shifted it. But when you went home and shared what Mr. Lovelace shared with you, and you shared that with your bride, and you said, I think maybe my plans are going to change. How did she respond to that?
Well, you know, actually, I've got to tell you that wasn't the catalyst for me making – that was the catalyst for my transformation as a Christian. But it wasn't a catalyst for the decision to not go the Wall Street path. Hmm. The catalyst for that decision was I was with some big firms, and I saw – and this was God just giving me wisdom. I saw that there was going to be a complete disconnect between my family and my career path. And I was going to have to make a decision. I also reflected on a time that God I believe that we all have a life story and God uses stories in Romans 8:28. There was a time I saw my dad cried in the 1980s when the SNL crisis happened and he lost everything. You guys may remember that time, but it was devastating in San Antonio. It was the only time I saw my dad cry. He completely lost his job. We lost everything, and it just went really south from there. And it painfully impacted me as a child. And I'll never forget, I never want that to happen to me. And the only way I can avoid me getting fired is to be my own boss, right? So God used Romans 8:28. He used that story, and I never forgot it. And I said, I am going to quit this Wall Street path because there's a disconnect between family and work. And then I was fearful of that key that wouldn't work one day and that I'd get fired. So I started Pax Financial Group with a couple other guys.
So, how have you seen that lay out? I mean, how did you decide to impact your clients in a way that was going to make a difference here in San Antonio?
Oh my goodness. There's so many different ways. It's unbelievable. It's sometimes just, I think for me, I'm always looking for God, right? So like, okay, what's God doing today? I want to have this awareness of what God's going to do. And so when a client sits down in front of me, there's sometimes where, you know, I try to use good judgment because there's a profession. You have to have a degree of professionalism, right? I can't just start kind of preaching on them. But if I can give them hope, that's a big deal. So the other day, we had a client that had a dream of getting an RV. And he said, I'm not getting an RV. I refuse to it. There's no way I can't afford it. And I go, you're telling me you can't afford it. I'm your financial guy. Like, I know what you can afford. There's something else there that you're saying. And so I pushed him a little bit. He ended up getting an RV. Now him and his wife can fulfill their dream and do great things, right? So that's awesome. That's more secular, but it's really cool that I could provide hope. There's other times where people are in despair, they're going through divorce. I'll pray with them. Other times that they have no hope and they're at a point where you can tell they're broken. The Spirit leads me. Let's pray. We're going to accept Jesus Christ right now as our Lord and Savior. We're going to make a complete U-turn in life. So really trying to be sensitive to the Spirit. Sometimes it's just giving them a degree of hope and then continuing to build that relationship. And other times it's, hey, this guy's at the bottom or this girl's at the bottom and we need to do something different.
So Jim asked you about your name, Pax Financial, and Pax being about peace. So when did the decision to pivot and make this organization be an agent, a catalyst for people finding peace, not just people making money? When did that become?
And when you'll get that answer when we come back from the break.
Yeah. He likes cliffhangers.
You listen to the I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, as we broadcast from C12Group.com. You can check them out online, C12Group.com. Their world intergalactic headquarters in San Antonio, Texas. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Martha and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us to take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand that their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to iworkforhim.com, click on the Donate Now button, and set up your recurring gift. And be one of 367.
Gender based on feelings? This is Ken Ham, head of the Evangelistic Apologetics Ministry of Answers in Genesis. People are increasingly redefining gender as something separate from biological sex. Many LGBT activists and others will say biological sex refers to anatomy and that gender refers to whether you feel male, female, or something in between. So gender is believed to be something subjective based on feelings. But this kind of thinking doesn't find any support in God's word. Scripture teaches we're created male and female. And this didn't change with sin. After sin entered creation, we're still told that God created us distinctly male and female. Of course, sin affected how humans view every area. So nothing is straightforward anymore.
Does your thinking reflect God's word or the culture around us? Discover a biblical perspective on hot-button issues in our culture when you visit us at our website, AnswersRadio.com.
Jesus is the answer for the world today, yet the world you and I live in doesn't know that. Your workplace is a vital mission field because it's full of people who need Jesus. Join the I Work For Him Nation today and start living with gospel mission intentionality in your workplace. Go out to iWorkForHim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Be the difference in your workplace. iWorkForHim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says the southern border is like a sieve, and he's lamenting how U.S. authorities fired tear gas into Mexico during the first hours of the new year to repel about 150 migrants trying to breach the border fence in Tijuana. Mr. Trump spoke during a White House meeting with his cabinet. As the partial government shutdown continues into its 12th day, the Department of Homeland Security says the number of people caught crossing the border illegally dropped since the early 2000s. Mitt Romney, the 2012 GOP presidential nominee and incoming Utah senator, has quickly set himself apart from other Republicans in the new Congress with a blistering attack on President Trump's leadership and character. Romney wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post that said Trump's conduct over the past 2 years, particularly his actions last month, is evidence that the president has not risen to the mantle of the office. More details at srnnews.com.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff, new stuff, used stuff, fun stuff, kid stuff, stuff to put stuff in, stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You! And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market, Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Here's what's coming up on I Work For Him. All week long in San Antonio, Texas, where we get hosted by C-12 headquarters. Thursday in I Work For Him, Martha and I talk with Brent Fessler from Hallmark University. Hear from this university president on how they're preparing all their students to live out their faith in their work. Connecting what we hear on Sunday with what we do in our 9-to-5 because the eternity of millions is at stake. Tune into I Work For Him every weekday at 4 p.m. on The Truth at FM 91.7 and Talk 100.3 FM at 5 p.m. or anytime access at iworkforhim.com.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Sidera Health, reinventing healthcare. A high-end, affordable healthcare solution with no insurance hassles. Online at Sidera.com. That's Sidera.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as Martha and I broadcast you from San Antonio, Texas at the world headquarters for C12 Group. If you are a business owner, Christ-following business owner or leader, you should check out C12 Group. If you've been looking to be in a group where there are other Christ-following business owners or leaders, and they're all trying to figure out together, what does it mean to lead, to build a kingdom company, to be a kingdom leader, to develop a kingdom culture on a daily basis? What is the practical, the tactical, the factual, and the biblical behind all of that? C12 Group can help you. C12Group.com, there are groups in 95 cities. Or something very close to that. Check them out online, c12group.com. No, I'm not making it up, but you have 95 chairs, so I'm assuming they're in 95 different cities. Maybe not 95 different areas, but 95 different cities.
Just one planet, though.
Just one planet.
Yeah.
Mike Sherrow, you asked a phenomenal question of our guest, Daryl Lyons, right before the break. Can you re-ask that, and let's get into that.
So, Daryl, you get some partners. You say, let's go create our own business. Let's be our own boss. Let's go manage money. And you choose a name, Pax Financial Group, because it stands for peace. Why did you decide, not only to be my own boss, we're going to start our own business, but let's make a business that's about helping people find peace and being a catalyst for that? Tell me why.
It's a good question. And, you know, you guys have already asked a ton of good questions. Frankly, they're very difficult questions because the questions, the way y'all frame them is, when did that happen? Like, what was that event? And I got to tell you, there's oftentimes it's
a process.
It's a process, right? And right. So,
So sometimes I feel like I'm not answering you directly, so I apologize, because a lot of times it's me just kind of thinking through things.
It's your story. The Lord does it on his timing. Okay. It's okay.
I'm very cerebral, so I kind of think things through, and that's good and bad, as we know. But in that case, first of all, I had two other partners, and they're awesome people. You know them, Andres Gutierrez and Joseph Schutze, and they've really been impactful in my life and making me the man I am today. And Andres, his family's from Mexico. So when we were looking for names, we wrote a bunch of names out, and he liked the X in PAX. He goes, I like the X. But PAX, when I put it on the table, it was Latin for peace, right? And Dave Ramsey, we've had a great relationship with Dave Ramsey out in Nashville. And so he has Financial Peace University, and we taught those classes, and we were seeing transformation. So we were just standing on the shoulders of giants before us. And wanted to continue what he was doing and find a way to do that in our own unique way. But we hadn't figured that out yet. We just knew we wanted to stand on the shoulders of somebody great. And that's really the transaction there.
All right. So you had another question you want to make sure you asked, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask. So, Daryl, you're this very disciplined, cerebral guy. You're intentional family, you know, husband, father. Four kids. Beautiful kids.
Thank you.
He's got a wife who's amazing. What's your wife's name?
Caress.
Yeah. They're like a love story. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
We all marry up, buddy.
Oh,
we all marry
big time.
Up.
Yeah.
And so you're scaling business, doing all this cool stuff, and yet in the middle of all your abundant free time, you chose to write a couple of books. One makes sense because of your story, small business, big pressure, and then you just had a book that just came out literally this month. Why you decided to write? Because you didn't need to write books for your practice.
Well, the short answer is I'm not good at golf. So,
it's two of us.
So I'll write instead.
Oh, that would make four of us.
You know, I misunderstood that for many years. I thought you had to play golf to make it in the business world. And I really tried, and I just really wasn't good at it. But
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, at first I thought there was. And so then God did his work on that gland and realized, hey, that can be just who I want to be. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll tell you, Small Business, Big Pressure, credit to the C12 group, because I wanted to write a book, and I told him my heart. And, you know, in business, it's not like big things that make a difference. It's you have a messy mind, and you just need somebody to kind of make sure you're thinking about things correctly and give you the encouragement. And I would tell you, I remember sitting around the group and them saying, you should do this. You should write this book. And so Small Business, Big Pressure was the genesis of it. I was teaching classes on small business because we had won some awards on best places to work and fastest growing companies. And people were asking me questions. So I started teaching classes on it. And then I looked at my desk, and the content of the research was piled up on my desk. And so I started to write a book. And when I wrote the book, it was designed to be kind of a playbook for small businesses on how to run a small business. And then when I gave it to Joseph, my business partner, he said, you know, your faith is kind of sprinkled in there, but that's not really who you are. And so he challenged me to integrate my faith in a more dynamic way. And so that was difficult, because then I had to be vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. Brene Brown, courageously vulnerable. And but I went ahead and integrated my faith fully through that whole book and the manuscript. And I'm really happy that it's been able to transform some people's lives in a very tangible way.
So instead of it being a handbook on how to start a small business, what is it? Who's going to read it?
Yeah, it's a handbook on it's a practical guide for small businesses, okay. But very much so on how you not only implement a small business or implement some strategies from hiring to firing to, I talked about the GTD,
mission statement,
even the financials. We'll talk about the financials. A lot of people, that's kind of like, I don't want it to go there.
Right.
But how do you do all these things in Christ? So every chapter, there's a prayer on how to implement this stuff in Christ. And so the idea is not to do it with Christ's help, with God's help along the way. That's not the book's intent. It's how am I going to do this in Christ? And so that's just a very small semantics, but to me, it's a big deal. Hey, am I going to do business with Christ's help, or am I going to do it in Christ? And so that's the premise of the book.
I was talking with an entrepreneur a couple weeks ago in Arizona, and we were talking about business. I said, hey, let's pray right now about where this conversation is going to go. And his response was, you know, that's a big shift. Christians I know will pray for God to bless what we talked about. We don't actually talk about God guiding us and how you want us to do this. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've never thought about beginning the process in Christ. Have you just gone to Christ and asked him to kind of like put some magic dust on that, please?
That's right.
Yeah, interesting.
That is so true. I mean, Lord, we have this great idea. Would you bless it, please? Instead of, hey, could you just lead us into the idea that you want us to have in the first place? So, Daryl, as we talk with Daryl Lyons here, he is the co-founder and CEO of PAX Financial Group, and it's online, PAXFG.com, PAXFG.com. All right, so I wanted to ask you, you talk about tough questions. All right, so I went through your website last night as I was preparing for the show, and I noticed it was more plain glass than stained glass.
Yeah, so that's something that we've been challenged with, and here's where we stand on that. We want people who come in that don't know Christ, because we may be the only church they ever walk in. Mm-hmm. And so we are very clear that we'll have atheists in all kinds of religions, and we expose them to to Christianity in a very unique way when loving people. And they leave there and they go, those are good people. And then they start making the connection. They're Christians. And that may be the only time they ever do that. We've been told that, hey, if you put some more Christian stuff on there, you'll get more Christian businesses. But we've decided not to take that approach.
I didn't have a problem with it. I wanted you to explain it because I liked that.
And I think it's really helpful for our listeners to just hear how God helped you wrestle with that and what you came up with, because there's no one answer for everybody as far as exactly what all their marketing material needs to look like. But it's allowing the Lord to lead you in that and to be very intentional, like you said, courageously intentional. Oh, yeah. Vulnerable, you were talking about as well. So, you say on your website that there's a huge difference between retiring and pivoting. One focuses on ending and the other embraces new beginnings. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so over the years, just seeing people make a transition in their second chapter of life, mm-hmm. and the idea of cardiac arrest nearly doubles, depression goes up, and I hurt for a lot of the people who have had a purpose prior to that, maybe raising kids, make sure you don't mess it up and having a decent job. And they get to this second chapter and they think, I have no purpose. And then they slowly die. And I thought, man, God's got so much more for them. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of pivoting means thinking through what your purpose is and what God has uniquely wired you to do. And many times there's a lot of different ways to identify purpose. What we have identified is that people live 7 years longer when they have a purpose. Hmm. We've identified that people...
Wow.
I think you should say that again, because I think a lot of our listeners need to hear that.
People live 7 years longer when they have a purpose.
Wow.
Who did the research on that? Barna or...
If you give me a minute, I'll think of the author's name.
Okay.
It's not somebody I think of a lot. But then there's also another study that it's... this is Richard Thaler's, the Longevity Project. He did some great research on this as well. And he identified that those people who are conscientious live longer, right? That would make sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But those people, there's also been additional studies. Time Magazine always comes out with this, the happiness studies, and says that the people who are in a community, now see, God's got all this wired. Think about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we have purpose and we reflect on our life story and we go to the climax of the life story when we had our most pain and you were helped or not helped, and you take the climax of your life story and you pay that forward as your unique purpose in the second chapter of life, and you surround yourself with a community with hugs and high fives, you get this oxytocin that keeps you alive. Mm-hmm. And then you live longer and you're happier. So God's got retirement uniquely wired if we just think through it. And retirement, by the traditional sense, means the disposition of an asset over its useful life. So the secular world and the financial world tells you your life is no longer useful, so therefore we need to dispose of you. Pivoting suggests your life is just beginning to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Reflect on the climax of your story, lean into your purpose, surround yourself with a community. You'll live longer and you'll be happier.
So, do you know, my first startup business was when a 79-year-old man named Al Gleamy, who was the number 4 guy at Prudential, came and recruited me to help him start a financial planning company. At age 79, he started a company in Lake Forest, Illinois, and I was looking at him going, Why
are you starting something?
And he went, because retirement will kill you.
That is so true.
Had all these friends. He's like, all my friends retired and they're dying. And I was like, I got to go back to work. And so he's like, he wanted to create a business that had purpose.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to help people make it fun and you're going to help me build it. Yeah. 79-year-old entrepreneur.
Yeah. That's the voice of CEO Mike Sherrow, CEO of C12 Group. Check him out online, c12group.com. Daryl, so I love what you said, because this pivoting is really a Romans 12:2 moment. You're talking about having a mind transformed and changing the way people think. Stop copying the behaviors and customs of this world. I love that because that is so true. And the fact that retirement is not biblical. I mean, but it could look very different.
Well, and it does. I think it's necessary also. I kind of sometimes just want to change the world. I think we all do. And I mean,
why not?
Why not? Right. And I think about that all the time. Now, one of our good friends, Randy Frazee, he taught me, to just, you know, take care of my neighbors. So I spend a lot of time loving on my neighbors. But then I often think about changing the world. So it's always a good wrestle and I love it. It kind of gets me inspired. So I don't expire. Right. but the idea is that if you can collectively get those that are going to pivot to think about the next generation, that changes the world. If they can reach their hand down to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. It's so desperately needed.
It's so desperately needed. And so that's a part of what I do as well, as try to encourage that group to encourage others.
And we need to encourage. I mean, if we could just get a national platform and say, hey, everybody over 50, would you please start investing in somebody at least 25 years younger than you? Mm-hmm. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Frankenberg. We'll be right back from San Antonio, Texas at the world headquarters of C12 with Daryl Lyons and Mike Shero. Don't go away.
Most condo communities include water as part of the monthly fee. Some residents conserve to subsidize those that consume. Stop paying for your neighbor's water. Have Think Utility Services install individual meters and pay only for what you use. Decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. For over 20 years, Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save. Call 888-MY-METER today. That's 888-MY-METER today. Go to thinkutilityservices.com.
Reconnect One with Carmen LaBurge.
For a mere $200, a genetic testing company will tell you everything about your DNA. You can find out your heritage and your predisposition to certain illnesses. But your 23 chromosomes don't tell the whole story of who you are, because they can't tell you whose you are. You may find out that you're not genetically who you thought you were. Well, here's the good news. In Christ, you can become a part of the eternal family of God, where the only bloodline that matters is those claimed by the blood of Jesus. In John chapter 1, we read, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." And here's what this new identity means. Regardless of what your genetic test results say, if you are in Christ, you are an heir, and your inheritance is imperishable, better than anything genetics could hope to deliver.
Reconnect today's headlines with God's perspective. Visit reconnectwithcarmen.com. Reconnectwithcarmen.com.
Jim and I ask you to join us in our radio mission of encouraging Christ followers to live out their faith in their work. Consider making a generous donation to I Work For Him as part of your year-end giving. This will act as a down payment for Kingdom Work for 2019. Our desire is to expand I Work For Him all across our wonderful nation. We need your partnership. Please join Jim and I to spread the message of I Work For Him. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate tab. That's iworkforhim.com. Click on the Donate tab.
Welcome back to I Work For Him, as we broadcast from San Antonio, Texas at the world headquarters for C12Group.com. C12Group.com. If you're a Christ-following business owner or leader and you've always wondered, what does it really mean to connect my faith and my work as I lead this organization? What does it mean to be a kingdom leader, to develop a kingdom culture, to build, to advance the kingdom in my business? Check it out online, C12Group.com. There is a group near you, and if there isn't, they'll fly you to a place that you can do it. I mean, sure, you can do that.
Send my jet. Intergalactically.
Intergalactic. They'll beam you up. Okay. We're talking today with Daryl Lyons. He is the co-founder and CEO of Pax Financial Group right here in San Antonio. Mike Shero, you had a question you want to make sure that we ask Daryl here in this last segment.
Yeah, Daryl. So, I mean, part of your guys' company is about living legacies, and you've made a big part of your life sowing into others. And so I'd love to hear you talk. You shared your story transparently. If you were to talk about, out of a heart for mentoring, what are some things you would challenge? Someone's listening in Orange County right now, and they're going, okay, I've got a totally different business than Daryl. How do I begin going down the journey? What would be some things you'd mentor virtually right now, thousands of people over the year?
Yeah. So first of all, I do think it's best way I can describe it is crusade mentality. And the imagery I have in my head is that if we look in Hollywood, we see
the Christian battle being lost. Yeah, just we could discuss that. Mm-hmm. But the Christian battle being lost. We look in politics. We see the Christian battle being lost, again, debatable. And we think, oh gosh, we're losing this battle. But what I see in the imagery in my head is this hill. And on the other side of the hill is an army of business people sold out for God. And God's got this thing coming at the evil one. And the business community is way more influential than Hollywood or politics, because when I'm signing somebody's paycheck, they listen to me. And yeah. Not to say I'm manipulating, but the influence of business mm-hmm. is insurmountable, and we're going to win the cultural war through business. Christ is.
Amen.
And so what I'm saying to these business people, get on the bus. Let's go. And if I can inspire them to say, we've got a battle here in the business world, and we've got to, in Christ, we've got some work to do, they'll find the how. So you the question is, how do you do it?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say, you know, like Simon Sinek, let's start with why.
Yep.
And if we start with why, you'll figure out the how. That's a part of, I'm not trying to plug C12 so much, but this really authentically, that's why part of sitting around the C12 group, you figure out the how stuff. Mm-hmm. But the why is, hey, you want to be a part of the battle or not? Mm-hmm. And I want to be a part of that.
When you give your life to Christ, you said you were going to be part of the battle. I mean, that's when you call somebody Lord, you're like, you're going to do what he says. And he wants us. And Jesus operated in the marketplace. That was his place.
Yeah, that was his place.
That sermon that, I don't know, Mike, if you've preached a sermon, because I know you get a chance to preach, but maybe there's a couple of ideas for you. Jesus' reputation in the marketplace and Jesus as an entrepreneur. Those would be two great topics that don't almost never get preached on.
I was just actually speaking at church this past Sunday. And in closing, I did a coy little trick. I said, hey, I'd like to honor people today. If you've been called to full-time ministry at any point in your life, you've acknowledged that Jesus has called you to live your life advancing his kingdom. Would you please stand? And maybe a dozen people stood and everyone cheered, pastors, missionaries and such. And I looked at the other hundreds of people sitting down. And I was like, why are you sitting down? I don't remember Jesus ever saying, like, I send you two to go make disciples. The rest of y'all just go make money. Don't do bad things and fund these people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all called. We're all called into this. Mm-hmm. Spurgeon said, everyone's either a missionary or an imposter. And so let's get in the game.
And to your point, one of the things that I struggled with was Daryl, in the story I was telling myself in your head, you've messed up too many times and you're not worthy mm-hmm. of being in that position. Mm-hmm. And I had to get over that.
Yeah.
And that was important. That was an important step for me.
So, Daryl, you've recently written another book, and we'd love to give a copy of this away to our listeners. So tell us really quickly who this book would be for.
So this book is Behavioral Finance, which is a collision of neuroscience, psychology, and traditional finance.
Wait a minute, everybody just said,
I know. I know. I know. It's really important people understand that, because I want people to... because a lot of people think money books about math. This one's about making better decisions.
Okay.
Because what we've researched over the years is that it's about decision making, not math. And so every year is a very simple chapter on what you need to be doing. So if you're 18, what you should be doing at 18. If you're 45, at 60, very simple, practical things. If you're 45, you're going to say, what should I be doing at 45? What should my 20-year-old be doing? What should my 65-year-old mother be doing? And it allows you to look at your life and the people you love in a very unique way and make better money decisions.
So call into our listener line at 866-713-9675. That's 866-713-WORK. And you can enter to get a copy of this book. And I will tell you that as I'm looking through it, every couple pages is like a new chapter, and it's the next age. So it starts at 18 and goes to 80, a simple and practical guide to money and retirement for all ages. So don't get scared by the word neuroscience and all of that. It's a simple and practical guide, and we would love to get a copy into the hands of one of our listeners. So call in to 866-713-WORK and enter to win a copy of this book today.
All right, here's my zinger question for this hour.
Drum roll.
No, I don't know if it's worth it, but drum roll. All right, you've been married how long?
16 years.
16 years. You got 4 kids. You run a business with 20 employees. How do you protect your marriage from your business? What are you doing to invest in your marriage to keep it fresh? Because you've just talked about all these really neat things you're doing within your business to keep it fresh and growing. What are you doing to do the same thing with your marriage?
Great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I referenced before that book, Making Room for Life. That book, again, was transformative for me to not overextend myself with trying to manage a bunch of relationships all around the country, all around the city. I have acquaintances, but I really try to keep things simple in my life. My commute is short. My relationships are very intentional. So I do that to just make sure I have some blank space in my mind. I date my wife a lot. My wife is absolutely striking. Mm. We enjoy each other's company. I'm very intentional and I fight for our marriage. In the times of the 16 years where we've had some downs, I'm a fighter for marriage. If, for example, it's not uncommon for a mother to get caught in the world of children who are struggling.
Yes.
In the middle of that, I'm still fighting for a marriage. And so I think part of it is God just put in me, because of my upbringing, which is another show, that marriage is a priority. And so I make time and blank space in my head for her and our relationship.
Well, thank you for sharing that with our listeners, because we all need to be encouraged and take a moment to look at our own lives. Being intentional just on the length of your commute. I mean, it's things like that that can really make a huge difference in people's lives. So I'm encouraged that you share that.
One other thing I'll say, I call her every day, and I've done this for 10 years, at 10 o'clock every day and 2 o'clock every day.
So you missed your phone call.
Yeah,
this
she's
morning.
Waiting, so I got to hurry.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So last question. If we were to poll the employees of your business, you said you had 20 of them. What would they say about how your faith is impacting the culture and the work environment? And what would they say about how C12 has impacted those two things?
Yeah, so my faith has certainly gave me an awareness. I think my faith also keeps me in check. The reality is that, you know, when you write books, people pat you on the back and say you're really something special. And I think they know that my faith keeps me grounded, because when you're running a company, and if you're having success in your company, if you're writing books, whatever you're doing, you get to the point where you think you can do no harm. And so what they'll tell you, what they know is that I'm constantly being humbled, and I'm going
before. You're married and you got four kids. There's a lifetime of humility there.
And I'm always making mistakes and going before them. They know that, I don't deviate far, and I think that humility is really important. I would love for them to say, yeah, Daryl is humble. That would be, make me proud if they told me that I'm humble.
So it would screw you up. If they told you were humble, it would make you proud. So then you don't want them.
It's a really wacky thing. Yeah. I need a sofa to figure this one out. The C12 group, you know, I'm doing a fundraiser for a ministry that I'm a part of, and, you know, I'm selling tables. They're not much, but I call up my friends from C12 and all of them said, I'm in. Hmm. And I thought about it. I go, those are real. They're real friends. Like, and they're running businesses. They can relate. I can relate to them. We've battled together. We've walked life together. It's unbelievable. I never knew that community of people existed. And in the business world, you get so isolated. And there is a community of like-minded believers fighting for the same causes, and they're there for you when you need them, and I'm there for them. And so that's what I'd like to say about C12. It's created some relationships I would have never had.
Daryl Lyons with the PAX Financial Group, thanks so much for being on I Work For Him today.
This has been fun. Y'all have been great.
Really appreciate it. Mike Sherrill, one last question for you. There are Christ followers listening to this show today all across the country, all across the world, and they're going, C12 group. Who, just in 30 seconds or less, who is a perfect C12 member?
If you own a business, you are hired to run a business, you've got employees, you've got Jesus in your heart, and you want to know how to connect those things all together, and you're trying to figure out how to grow, and you want to do it in a way that Jesus would say, well done, good and faithful servant, and you value any of those things, or you're frustrated with any of those things, then you'd be a great C12 member.
And C12 members, I mean, the companies can be smaller, they can be larger. It all wide ranges. Doesn't have to be a certain specific part of the economy. It can be any type of business, any type of organization, correct?
Yeah, so, you know, generally 10 employees or more, all over the board. So I'm in a C12 group myself. We got everything from a $3 billion publicly traded software company down to a small business with 14 employees. And so it's the full spectrum. But generally, you got to have a team, so it's not for solopreneurs. And you got to be willing to see that business used as really stewarded as God's.
Mike Sherrill, thanks for hosting us here at C12 today.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600 WZNZ, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at bakerglassinc.com. That's bakerglassinc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass. No one treats you better.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.